Hello and welcome to Film Wonk. This is Glenn. I'm here without my regular co-host, Daniel, but I do have a recurring guest contributor, Nick.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thanks.
So he and I got together because we both saw Thor this week, the new film from Kenneth Branagh, starring Chris Hemsworth as the titular hero, and as well as Natalie Portman, Stellan Skarsgård, and Anthony Hopkins, among others. Nick, let's just cut to the chase. You were not a fan of this movie, were you?
No, although I did see it for free, so I can't really fault it.
That's true. I believe you actually posted on Facebook, "I saw this movie before Glenn." That is all.
Yep, that's my crowning achievement for this past month.
Indeed, yeah. I believe you also said, "Oh, you'll like it. You like everything." Needless to say, that was a that was the gauntlet being thrown down. So I knew I had to bring Nick in to hash this out. So, Nick, I will let you go first. What did you think of this movie?
Well, let's just we talked about this briefly before, but the obvious genre, the superhero genre. Which this fits into has been, you know, there's a lot of entries in the category, and, you know, I was talking about it in line, and you brought up in a conversation the other day how similar it was to
Superman. We have a hero that comes from another plane or another planet, and when he comes here, his powers are different. I mean, it's sort of the reverse Superman in this case, because he actually loses his powers when he comes to Earth, but that's a minor spoiler. It happens in the first 15 minutes, but and I would say for now let's shy away from major spoilers until we get into that. Basically he is banished from Asgard for a grievous sin against his father. I won't say what that is, but
being a douchebag.
Pretty much, yeah. And he's sent to Earth to learn the consequences of his actions. We also meet his brother Loki, the Norse trickster god. Played by an actor that I've never heard of before. I believe he was on the British TV series Cranford, but an actor named Tom Hiddleston. Now, Nick, I'm very curious what you thought of this character, both as a character and sort of as a possible villain. That's without getting into too much specifics about him. What did you think of this performance?
Well, it was hard when I saw him initially to judge him any one way or the other, because he has such a bland face. You look at him, you're just like, you're very neutral looking. But then once he started being an emo cunt, I stopped really caring about him at all.
Fair enough. I think that this is a film directed by Kenneth Branagh, who's directed a lot of Shakespeare. What I expected he might get right in this film is sort of the elements of clashing royalty. Like the very beginning, the central conflict is who is going to be the king of Asgard. The outgoing king, Anthony Hopkins, Odin the Allfather, is relinquishing his crown because he's immortal, but he's old, I guess. We'll go with that. And he realizes that his son is too much of a douche to take the crown right away, and needs to be tested a little bit first. And I thought this might be where the movie would get interesting. I mean, Loki as the royal prince, the second in line for the throne, who wants the throne for himself, but he's
the
really,
runt of the litter, if you will.
Indeed. But at the same time, I mean, I found him to at least be a slightly complex villain. Like he was not. At times, his motivation seemed almost reduced to just fucking around, and I'm not really sure if I can complain about that, because if there is the one iconic figure from Norse mythology that you can latch onto for just fucking around for the sake of it, it's Loki. At the same time, that also seemed like an excuse for sloppy writing for his character, but for just him turning on a dime as far as who he's loyal to from moment to moment.
Yeah, I think it makes it difficult to really buy into that royal drama that you referred to earlier. Yeah,
exactly.
When he's so inconsistent as a character.
I feel like that could have been very interesting, but I mean, we spend all this time building up this grand and, I would say, visually magnificent world of Asgard.
Even though they repeat the same footage from the beginning at the
true.
End.
you can't fault them for recycling the effects reel, but... but it's still, it's a gorgeous piece of CG construction. I felt like the characters were integrated with it very well when they were tromping across the Rainbow Bridge. I didn't have that feeling that I get with bad CG where like they're standing in front of a green screen. None of that is really there. I still know that with this, but I wasn't feeling it as much. I felt like the integration of the characters into the surrounding environment made it feel very much like a real place, and I think that was an achievement.
So I'll one for and one against the visual effects. 1.4 is I liked what it did with it, sort of showed when we were in Asgard. Is that
Asgard, yeah.
Asgard. We're in Asgard, and we're on the Rainbow Bridge, and we're looking back towards the city, and we see that there's sort of a sky, and then it kind of just turns into the night sky that you're able to see from ground level. So I like the showing a sky that's very different from our own, where you have a view both of, you know, there's sort of that warmth of like our own, where there's light in the sky, but then there's also you're able to see into the heavens at the same time. And that was sort of used in Contact, actually, when Jodie Foster is on that, wherever she ends up, having that encounter with alien that looks like her father.
Spoiler for Contact right there. But
if you haven't seen Contact,
you're
at this
not
point,
going to.
You've
yes.
got,
well, I mean, I'll say this. The plane of Asgard felt exactly like that. I mean, they go out of their way to show how two-dimensional it is. It's not – the film's fake 3D notwithstanding. At times we see the camera pass up through space, through a layer of clouds, and there it is. It's a city floating on clouds. It's an image of heaven, basically.
Which it feels like you're supposed to be more connected to it, because we do show zooming in from out. It doesn't feel like I have a clear perception of where it is, and the fact that there are clouds, I want to try to latch it, like try to put it on like a planet, or like, you know, try to make it some kind, connect it to a reality I know and understand, because it is so similar in other regards. Unlike Clash of the Titans, where you see this far up whenever they're in the I can't.
Remember. I've actually not seen Clash of the Titans, so this is
all right. Well, let's leave it out.
No, by all means, make the comparison, because I mean, I've heard the comparison made between Anthony Hopkins and Liam Neeson in their respective films here. And
just when they're in the control room in Clash of the Titans, I don't remember the specific details.
Olympus.
When they're on Olympus, you get a sense that it's sort of more otherworldly than in Thor. It feels very much like sort of a ridiculous, lavish civilization. And then you also see the panning over the top of the crystalline like buildings. So that was the one visual effect that I was like, oh, like, it's pretty. Like, are we inside that? Are we, like, down the mountain from that? Like, where is this taking place?
Oh, I see. The big, tall, like, church organ-looking section of towers that's always in the background of every shot. We don't really know where we are in relation to that.
Yeah, it's very pretty, but it's underutilized, I think.
That makes sense. I mean, I think that the world of Asgard and the nine realms that we hear set up for this film, the other one that we see is the realm of the Frost Giants. And this is sort of the central cosmic conflict that's going on between these beings that are beyond humanity in terms of their technology, in terms of their science or magic, or, you know, they come from a place where they're one and the same, as Thor says to Jane, to Natalie Portman. But I think this film suffers from what I've come to dub the Transformers problem. Now, I hate to point to Michael Bay's Transformers films as any sort of paragons of virtue, but here's what I mean by this. In a conflict between aliens that are completely beyond us, that we are completely outmatched by, we are not that fucking important. There is no reason why this conflict needed to play out on Earth, and this movie brought that into stark relief in a way that I've never seen in films before, because we don't see this conflict play out with the complete destruction of New York City like we've seen a thousand times before. We see it play out in a dusty village in New Mexico, which while I'm inclined to think maybe there was some sort of happy medium between the two that we might have enjoyed more, what I found myself wondering overwhelmingly was, what was the point of any of the stuff that happened on Earth? I mean, we're meant to believe that Thor gets sent to Earth as a sort of test. He needs to prove himself worthy of the powers of Thor and the throne of Asgard. But I believe you actually brought this up. We needed a reason for Thor to care about Earth. And not only did he not care about Earth, or at least get any credible reason for it, there was also not really any threat to Earth. I mean, The only
threat was something that Agent Coulson ridiculed. Isn't that Tony Stark? He never tells me what's going on anymore. Like, so even to him, this threat to Earth is no more than possibly.
Well, I think we're going to get into specifics on this. We should go ahead and get into spoilers. So.